Yesterday we did the draft, today free agency and some names you haven't heard, plus one that you're going to love. It's with Nekias Duncan on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for downloading the show and making it part of your daily routine. Wherever you are, out for a run, in the shower, at the gym, at work, pretending to work, whatever. I'm just happy that you're listening to the podcast. I'm John Corrales. I'm the Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com. Today, it's about free agency. And I got Nekias Duncan, who's been on the show before. He writes for basketballnews.com. And in this show, we're talking about free agency. He did a big free agency preview, and he dropped some names that are different from names that we've heard over the course of the last few weeks. So I thought, you know, this is creative. This is good. I like where he's coming from. And in this, we go position to position. So in the beginning here, we're going to go with the guards. And in the second segment, wings. And then later on, the bigs. And I think you're going to be intrigued by a couple of these names. And this is just like a framework, because we don't know how so many different things are going to go. The Celtics free agency period could start in a couple of weeks, could start in a month. Who knows what's going to happen? And Gordon Hayward's decision could have an impact. Their draft decisions could make an impact. What the Celtics have to spend, who they can spend it on, it's so all over the place. But Nekias's names here, his options are fantastic. You can follow him at Nekias NBA. That's N-E-K-I-A-S NBA. And it's really good stuff. So let's just head into the discussion here with Nekias Duncan about the Boston Celtics free agency options. All right, Nekias, first of all, great piece here on basketballnews.com. For people who haven't read it, 2020 free agency preview, the Boston Celtics. And what I love about this is you really, it's one of the more thorough pieces on the Celtics, and you bring up some names that are different. So I'm going to try not to give the whole thing away so people can go read it. You should go read it on basketballnews.com. But let's just dive into some of what you begin with here, in-house decisions. And interestingly, you think that Enes Kanter is someone that can come back for the Celtics.
I do. Like, there are obvious defensive concerns with Enes Kanter, but I think through an 82-game season, or I guess a 72-game season, whatever we do next year. Like, I think he feels a very specific role as an offensive rebounder, as a post scorer, and that is an element that Boston doesn't have anywhere else in their front court. Daniel Tice, kind of, he screens, he rolls, defends the paint. Robert Williams is more of your traditional rim roller guy. Enes Kanter gives them a different element as a scorer. He's a guy that can kind of spell those other guys. Take some pressure off of the perimeter guys to create shots. So I think he has some regular season value there. And as you saw in the postseason against very select matchups or against select lineups, there's room for him to kind of swing a few minutes while the stars get rest in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat. We didn't see Enes Kanter until a guy like Andre Iguodala was on the court, so where you could hide him defensively and kind of camp him around the rim so he can rebound. And then on the other end, with Miami playing as small as they did, he just kind of feasted around the rim. So I think you can still get some value out of him in short spurts. If it's a deal that, you know, if it's the vet minimum or a little bit more than that, if he does opt out somewhere in that $4 or $5 million range, like, I don't think that breaks Boston's bank at all. So I think it's worth bringing him back.
So it's an interesting dichotomy between people who are outside Boston, people who are inside Boston. I think a lot of people who are inside Boston are like, fingers crossed that Ennis opts out, or if he opts in, that the Celtics end up trading him away. I mean, all of the talk that I've had about the draft is save that 30th pick because you're going to need it to attach to Enes Kanter so you can get somebody to take him. So if they do keep him, then that means the Celtics will very likely have the taxpayer mid-level, because if they keep him, they're doing some other things. And I feel like the way to get away from the taxpayer mid-level is to move him, clear out a couple of spots, clear a little bit of roster space. And obviously Gordon Hayward, if he just opts in and stays, then that also solidifies the taxpayer mid-level. But if you make a move for Kanter and you can get either a trade for Gordon Hayward or a long-term opt-out and re-sign, then you can get the non-taxpayer mid-level. And why I bring that up is you, in your piece, I like the way you broke this down. You have the mid-tier option and the bargain option for a lot of these different positions. And the mid-tier option is somebody that I think is going to be a $9 million full mid-level type of guy, or some portion of that, versus some of the bargains, which maybe are going to be in the taxpayer mid-level. That's my assumption. What were you thinking when you broke these guys down? Do you think, am I somewhere close with that?
Oh, you pretty much had it on the money. The mid-tier options were the guys that I figured would be available for like the mid-level or a portion of it. Pretty much anyone like above just the Vince minimum would kind of work in that mid-tier option range. And then the bargains were the guys that would get those minimum contracts. And I was kind of projecting for Boston to have that taxpayers mid-level. If they were to get up to, you know, the non-taxpayers mid-level, put them in the $9 million range, then that puts you in range to get a guy like an Aaron Baines or someone like that.
Right.
Someone in that higher tier.
So let's just start with some of the guards. Couple of interesting names. The Jordan Clarkson one is really interesting, because Clarkson has never really been super efficient. He's been able to hit from three. He's had some kind of like the year in Cleveland, that first year in Cleveland, or was the second year in Cleveland, where he was just for some reason just horrible from three. But he's shown some ups and downs. I guess that's why he's available, right? Like, he's the type of guy that's like, well, if we get this Jordan Clarkson, then we're good. But if we get this Jordan Clarkson, then eh. And I guess every player at this level that the Celtics are at is gonna have some of that. So what do you see in a Jordan Clarkson, who again is not somebody that I've heard mentioned in terms of the Celtics before? What do you see from him that could help Boston?
I think more than anything, it gives them a creation boost off the bench. I think up until like the injury to Gordon Hayward, you saw Marcus Smart starting a little bit more. Marcus Smart was kind of that guy. And then behind him, it was Brad Wanamaker, who did a fine job. But if you want to improve the bench, I think it starts there, just getting more shot creation. I think Jordan Clarkson is a guy that can do that. Has enough on-ball creation, has enough pull-up shooting to kind of, you know, take some pressure off of like your Kemba Walkers and guys like that when they go to the bench. Him kind of swapping out some of those long twos that he fell in love with in LA, in Cleveland, swapping those out for threes have made him a more dangerous player. You saw that during the postseason with Utah taking on Denver. He saved them in a couple of games just for the way that he was knocking down shots from beyond the arc. So I think he helps there. He also has enough size to where you can play him alongside a Kemba in a second unit or alongside a Marcus Smart. There's natural fit there. And if you're playing him and Smart together, that takes some of that on-ball creation role off of Marcus Smart, who can still get a little erratic when he has to create more than he should. So I think just kind of taking some of that responsibility away and giving it to a guy like Clarkson to get his own, I think would help quite a bit.
It's an interesting point about Marcus Smart, because I think we definitely saw that in the Miami series, where Marcus Smart has... I think he's like a catch-22, where you need him to be intense, and you need him to have some of the ego and confidence that he has, because that's what fuels so much of what he does well. But then when he looks around and sees guys struggling, he has no qualms about taking some of the shots that he can take, because he thinks he can make everything. And finding a guy to put alongside him that, if you're looking at, all right, Kemba might be a little more limited if they start early, if they start in December, we're going to rely on Marcus Smart a lot more. Bringing somebody in that can take some of that pressure off of him or give him an option. The more options he has to pass to of guys that can make shots, the more likely he is to pass to those guys, because he is a great passer. But having people on the floor that can't make shots, and the problem with the Celtics is sometimes they put people on the floor with him that can't make shots, so he feels like he needs to do it all himself. So that's an interesting kind of look at, from the guard perspective, why a guy would fit. More with Nikias in just a moment. We'll get to the wings. We'll get to the bigs. First, I want to get to rockauto.com, which is the place you need to go for anything you need for your car. It doesn't matter how advanced you are in your knowledge about cars, or if you just need to get some taillights, wipers. I know that this is a messy time around New England, and you probably need to upgrade some of the wipers to make sure you get all that snow and slush off. You can do that at rockauto.com. But if you know how to work your way around an engine, you can get more complicated stuff at rockauto.com. You can head over there and know that you're going to get a reliably low price no matter who you are. Professionals, do-it-yourselfers, these other places, these chain stores, they have different price tiers. RockAuto.com's prices are low. They're the same for everybody. They're not going to change based on what the market would bear. That's silly. And they are a family business, so you know they're going to take care of you. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Don't bother talking to somebody behind a counter and just telling that person all the same stuff you can enter yourself. Go to rockauto.com, do it yourself, and you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. It's very important that you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. That's how they know that we sent you. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. It's an amazing selection. It's reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. You mentioned in the bargains Isaiah Thomas, who I know people love Isaiah Thomas as a, return to Boston and all of that. Like, I don't want to bog that down with this discussion. People think Isaiah Thomas should come back. I'm not 100% sure, but at the bargain level, who knows? I'm more interested in the Tyler Johnson name here that you brought up, because he seems like another guy that has shown a lot of promise, but may be available pretty cheap.
Right. Like, he's definitely bounced around. Miami kind of found him in, then it was the D League at that point, and turned him into a $50 million player once Brooklyn kind of threw out a poison pill offer sheet Miami match. That was during that 2016 offseason. That kind of led to the 2017 offseason that Heat fans just never want to talk about ever again. But yeah, Jalen Johnson has always been a guy that can get to the rim, fearless attacker at the rim, really good spot up shooter, underrated rebounder. Just the guy, I think, just from a culture fit, a guy that goes 120% all the time. He's going to dive for loose balls. He has lost several teeth looking up for rebounds and loose balls. Like, it was a meme in Miami that he was losing a tooth basically every other game. Him and Goran Dragic was just getting hit in the face, it seems like, every other game. But just a culture fit, he fits there. Good off-ball player, smart cutter, nice shooter. Would definitely fit in a lot of the off-ball sets that Boston likes to run. So I think that's a ready-made fit there. Defensively, he competes against both guard spots. Not an elite stopper by any means. The wingspan kind of limits him a bit against like wings, but does have the lateral quickness to guard point guards and shooting guards. So I think that's a pretty solid plug and play option for the Celtics.
All right, let's move on to the wings. And I'm curious if you actually think that the Indiana Pacers will get rid of one of their Holidays, because they seem to be they're stockpiling both Holidays and TJs. So you have Justin Holiday as an option, but also Garrett Temple. As soon as you said Garrett Temple, I was like, oh, yes. For some reason, Garrett Temple just sticks out as a complete that for some that makes total sense to me.
Like he's a guy that does a little bit of everything, so he doesn't really stand out. He's definitely the kind of role player that is situated in a good situation. He showed some he's not a young guy, but he showed some more on ball flashes than I anticipated during Brooklyn's playoff run, where like basically everyone got hurt. So he does have a little bit of secondary creation available there. But the big thing for him is that he's going to knock down open shots and defend. And like I mentioned in the piece, if Brooklyn declines that team option worth around $5 million, if they decline that to kind of free up some room to bring back Joe Harris, I think Garrett Temple is a guy that can kind of slip through the cracks there. And he's just a guy that can fill minutes at the two or the three.
So Temple is 33. And he's shown the ability to knock down the three. Now in Brooklyn, he recaptured a shot that had kind of gone away for a little bit, but he has had seasons in Sacramento. He shot 39% in 2017-18, 37% in 2016-17. He is, you know, a 6'5 wing that I think can give you some versatility. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's a $5 million team option. I think the Celtics, how much do you think there's going to be a lot of demand for somebody like Garrett Temple?
I think so. Like everyone's looking for wings. So I think once that top batch of guys gets gone, like if Wes Matthews declines his player option, like he's going to be a guy that's going to get snatched up pretty quickly. You mentioned Justin Holiday a little bit earlier. Like after that initial batch of wings, I do think a guy like Garrett Temple is going to be in demand. He's the kind of guy that he obviously fits everywhere because of his skill set, but also he fits a contending team because of that skill set. And he can also fit a rebuilding team just because of the presence that he brings in the locker room. Just a solid vet to have around. So I do think that he will be among like that second or third wave free agents that will be gone pretty quickly because he provides value just about everywhere.
Yeah. So I do think the Celtics needs are at around the perimeter wings and guards. So bench scoring is obviously going to be a big issue. Now the Celtics on the front line may have the guys that they need. Maybe they could use one more just in case. So of the ones that you mentioned, I'm going to let you pick because, again, I don't want to give away everything. I want to make sure people are going to basketballnews.com to read this story. Do you think that there's any one of these forwards that can actually come onto the Celtics and give them what they need?
One of the forwards. Got to think of what's a good one here. I would probably lean Paul Millsap.
Really?
Like,
do you think he's got enough left?
You saw what?
Do you think he's got enough left in the tank?
I do. Like, he definitely lost a half a step or a full step last year in Denver defensively, but he was still a plus on that end. I think a lot of the wear and tear that we saw and the slippage that we saw, particularly in the playoffs, is just it's a product of what Denver asked him to do. They play Nikola Jokic extremely high in pick and roll. They want to utilize his quick hands there since he isn't much of a rim protector. So that puts a lot of strain on Paul Millsap to kind of be that backline defender, rotate over and stop drives at the rim. And that's just a lot to ask of someone his age and that has played as long as he has. So I think if you put him in Boston, especially if you're looking at it from a closing lineup perspective, You're going to have Jason Tatum out there. You're going to have Jaylen Brown out there. You're probably going to have Marcus Smart out there. And then it's going to be one of Kemba or Gordon Hayward if he's still there, and you have Millsap out there. Like, you're going to have some really good you're going to have three really good, two elite perimeter defenders out there to where he wouldn't have to clean up so many messes. And if they're going that small anyway, there's probably going to be some switching involved, which is going to put a little less strain on him, I feel. So I think when you put him in a place where he doesn't have to clean up as many messes and you're in a scheme that's a little bit more conservative, he won't have to expend as much energy, and I think you'll see a better Millsap.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Do you think getting out of the West might be something that is that he looks at and says, you know what, look, Denver's really good. They obviously made their run, but the West is going to get even better, and might as well give it a shot out East and maybe try and make my run to the finals that way.
I can see that. I mean, especially he's basically coming off of long stretch in the East anyway before going to Denver. He was with Atlanta for as long as he was. So it wouldn't be a super stretch for him. And with a team like Boston that is really good, probably better than Denver already. Again, they have those defenders to where that would make things easier on him. And then on the other end of the floor, when you have a guy like Jason Tatum creating the way that he does, Kemba Walker being a dynamic pick and roll guy, kind of in the vein of Jamal Murray, so it wouldn't be that much of a change there. Just having all those weapons. If Paul Millsap is your fourth option offensively, or your fifth option offensively, depending on if Hayward comes back,
yep.
Like, I mean, Paul Millsap, even at this stage, like, he will mash you in the post if there's a mismatch. And if you're just hiding a center on him, like, he still has enough quickness and ball skills to kind of blow by those guys, get to the rim. And he's a good enough passer to beat rotating defenses. I think just putting him in a situation where he doesn't have that much responsibility would really be huge for him.
On to the centers. You mentioned Dwight Howard, and that just makes me want to vomit. So I'm going to skip past him. JaVale McGee is not much better as far as I'm concerned. My take on the centers is that if the Celtics aren't going to give the job to Robert Williams, if he's not going to earn that job, then Daniel Tice has shown that he's good enough, and you either find maybe a different option in the draft, and maybe you trade up. This buzz trading up for Okongwu is like has really gotten into my head, and you might as well go for that. And hopefully, the combination of Tice and maybe Robert Williams, or even if Cantor sticks around, whatever, and you can get Okongwu to be your next center and just move forward that way. But one interesting name here, I've been asked a bunch about it, it's come up a ton, is Harry Giles. I don't know what his value is. I don't, because I know he's had injuries. I know he's been in Sacramento, and being any time in Sacramento just saps the value out of a player anyway. So what can we expect from somebody like Harry Giles? Is he available for a mid-level? Is he gonna command more than the taxpayer mid-level? Is the promise of him so great that somebody's going to take a swing at him for maybe more than the taxpayer mid-level?
I don't see him having that kind of market. Ironically enough, just the general blahness of Sacramento in their front court and as much as they had going on there, combined with the injuries that Giles had, I think muddies the waters on his value. And I think just for Giles himself, he probably wants to go to a good situation to where he can, you know, guarantee himself a role, show what he can do, and then kind of test the waters again next year in 2021, to where we have a little bit more certainty of what the cap looks like. A lot of teams are storing up cap space anyway for that summer for obvious reasons. So I think him taking a one-year deal on a team where he can see a clear-cut role for him and doing so on a good team would give him a pretty big spotlight. I think that makes sense for him. I don't think it would take more. I don't think it would take more than a minimum, honestly. Like, the thing about Giles being in free agency right now is that Sacramento inexplicably declined one of his team options, which is why he's going to be unrestricted this summer.
I don't get that.
So he's – they're the Kings.
That's all you need to say.
that's about it. So he's unrestricted. So I think him taking a one-year deal at the minimum – or maybe even the biannual somewhere or whatever. Like, I don't think it's going to take much to get him. And he just has such an intriguing skill set. Like, if Boston were to sign him, he immediately becomes their best big man passer. Right. And one of the better passers on their team.
Right.
And I think that, I mean, the fit is pretty tailor-made for him there in the half-court sets.
See, this is the interesting thing, man, because, I mean, eventually they'd have to pay him. If he comes in and succeeds, I mean, he's young, so he's going to have to, I mean, played with Jason Tatum in college. And that's part of why people ask, because you're like, hey, he's 6'11". He's got, you know, he's got the size. He's got some of the skills here. The athleticism is still mostly there. But is he worth it for a team that's going to win now, that wants to win now? And this is where I'm hesitant with him. The promise is there. Does Boston have the time to give to him? Do they have the situation? Assuming, okay, let's say Enes Kanter goes, then you have still a three-headed kind of big man situation where you can go with one of either Giles or Robert Williams or Daniel Theis. Unless the Celtics decide that Robert Williams just isn't going to be their guy and they trade him, then that changes everything. But I still feel like they need to see him healthy for a while. If Robert Williams isn't their guy, I just feel like he's not going to get traded until the trade deadline. And he's still got so much athleticism that some team's going to want to take him and give him the minutes that he needs. I don't know that Giles... Does he get what he needs in this Boston situation? Like, everything you said, but considering where Boston is, I want it to be. Basically, what I'm saying here is I want it to be that situation. I don't know that it can be.
No, that definitely makes sense. And one of the things that I mentioned in the piece earlier in the piece is that Boston needs to improve at guard more than they need to improve in the front court. So I don't think, like, adding another center isn't a necessity for them, especially if Enes Kanter opts in and they don't get rid of him. Or even if he does opt in and they trade him, as you mentioned, like, they have enough first-round picks to trade up for a guy like Onyeka Okongwu if he starts to slip. A little bit later in the draft, a guy like Xavier Tillman would be a fantastic fit for them. So I think center isn't necessarily a need for them, but that's just more of a thing you look at if they want to improve in around the margins there.
Right.
Like, if Kanter does leave, if Robert Williams doesn't come around, like if the game is still a little bit too fast for him, again, going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, like, you could see the clear value offensively of him diving to the rim, providing that vertical threat. And defensively, if you got him away from the rim, he was just kind of a mess in terms of footwork, in terms of trying to navigate those screening actions that Miami were running. So if you do feel like he's further behind than you would like for him to be, at least during the regular season, because Boston has shown willingness to play some of their younger guys or end-of-the-bench guys a little bit more minutes during the regular season than other contenders. So I think there's room for Harry Giles to get consistent minutes, at least during the regular season. And even if you're playing that up to the trade deadline to see, okay, where is Giles from a health perspective? Has he improved defensively? Because he has some question marks there as well. And how does he look compared to a guy like Robert Williams? They're kind of rotating back up big or whatever. What does Grant Williams look like at the four? Have they played him at the five at all? You know, just kind of evaluating all of that during the regular season. And then you kind of make your move from there. If that's trading Williams, if that's selling high on Giles, if it's just benching Giles altogether, because I'm anticipating he just gets a one-year deal somewhere.
Right.
So I think there's room for you to have that, to make that experiment.
I feel like, as you're talking, I realize that my problem with Harry Giles is the promise. And this is like standing at the clearance rack of a store with a piece of clothing that you're like, wow, this is at a deep discount. But I've got 10 of these at home, and this is such a great deal, I might want to get it. But if I get it, I might never wear it. And and that's kind of where I feel like with Giles. So let me wrap this up by asking you one question. All of these guys that you mentioned in your piece, let's assume that Danny Ainge has contacted them all, and all of their agents are like, yes, our guy wants to go to the Celtics, and it's at fair market value. It's not, you know, we're not cutting corners here. Who can the Celtics, of your choices, who would make the most sense on the Celtics, or can they make it? Is there any way they can split that $5.7 million taxpayer mid-level into two guys that make sense for the Celtics?
I think for Boston, I think splitting up that the taxpayers' mid-level is going to be their best option. I think that puts them in range. We're going to see what Paul Millsap's see what his value is going to, what his market is going to be, because I would imagine, you know, every contender out there is going to want him, but also because of the age, because of the mileage, I don't think he's going to command too much. So I think if there's a way to fit Paul Millsap in into that exception, maybe he gets 3.7, maybe he gets 4 mil, and then you toss the minimum at a guy like Tyler Johnson or Isaiah Thomas, I think you bolster your front court depth to where you can be more switchable defensively late in games. You bolster your guard depth to where you don't have to rely on Marcus Smart to create everything with the second unit. If you're sitting Kemba Walker, Isaiah Thomas helps you get through the regular season, and then you can kind of shorten the rotation in the postseason if you need him to. And then again, Paul Millsap gives you that end of game value.
Well, suggesting that Isaiah Thomas is one of the solutions is going to make you the most popular guy in the Celtics Twitterverse. I'll just put it out there. That's going to be the headline. Nikias Duncan suggests Isaiah Thomas is one of the answers for the Boston Celtics. A million, million listens. All right, man. I really appreciate it. Everybody, again, go check him out at basketballnews.com. The free agency preview, Boston Celtics. Obviously, there are other free agency previews, and Nikias does an amazing job breaking everything down. So follow him there. Follow him on Twitter at Nikias, N-E-K-I-A-S, NBA. Hey, man, really appreciate you coming back on the show.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Seriously, Nikias is one of the more knowledgeable people on the internet when it comes to NBA basketball. All of his stuff is extraordinarily thorough, very detailed, well thought out. It's just, he's one of the best. So it's always great to have him come on the show. Tomorrow, mailbag time. I've gotten a bunch of questions at jcorrales@masslive.com. I'm doing it all via email. A bunch of those answers are going to be on masslive.com, so make sure you go there. But also, tomorrow's podcast will be some of the questions that I didn't get to on masslive.com, because there are always so many. So make sure you get your emails in, and I will answer all of those questions on the Friday show and Friday on masslive.com. All of you new listeners, thank you for sampling. Thank you for checking it out. I hope if you've gotten to this point by now, that means you like the show and you're ready to subscribe. Wherever podcasts exist, this podcast is there. All of you regular listeners, you know what to do. A 5-star rating, a good written review would be awesome. All of those have made this the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. So let's continue. I don't want to be just the number one Boston Celtics podcast. I want to make this the number one NBA podcast. Why not? Why not? Let's do it. So share the podcast and tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.